Good morning, Lalawet, and welcome to another day of live broadcasting here on CHLS 100.5 FM. My name is Jeff O'Kelly. This program is Snooze Button, and I'll be with you until 9 o'clock. We started this morning with music by French composer Emmanuel Chabrier. We heard a piece called Mélancolie. Do I really need to translate that for you? Okay, melancholy. That comes from the 10 picturesque pieces by Emmanuel Chabrier. We heard a recording with French pianist Marcel Meyer playing. And I will tell you a little bit more about Chabrier and about Marcel Meyer. Don't really know a lot about her except about her playing. And we'll hear two more pieces by Chabrier in a few minutes. Right now, though, it is time for weather and road reports. Okay, so the question is, what's going to go on with the rain? Environment Canada yesterday predicting and still predicting lots of rain. Well, not as much now as they were predicting. Yesterday afternoon, every now and then on the Environment Canada forecast website, these red bands will pop up across the top of you'll see them across the top of the forecast, and it'll usually be a warning for heavy snowfall or high winds or something like that. But every now and then it's a gray band instead of a red band. And the gray bands actually seem more ominous to me because they don't actually say what's going to be happening. It just says special weather statement in effect. So there is one of those right now. And just the fact that they're not telling you up front what the special weather is going to be, that kind of always disturbs me and makes them seem more frightening than the red ones. I will read that or some of that in a minute. But let's start with yesterday when it says we had 0.0 millimeters of precipitation, which basically was true. I think there were maybe 3 minutes of rain early or late yesterday evening, fairly light rain, and that was it. And we had been told to expect 10 to 15 millimeters overnight. So don't know what to think. Yesterday's low 5.4, the high made it up to 22.7. As of 7 a.m., the temperature was 11 degrees. On my walk into the studio, I did see a couple of blue spots in the sky towards especially the northwest, and I don't know if those are still there or not, but I somehow doubt today is going to be a clear, sunny, warm day. So here's the special weather statement in effect for the Fraser Canyon. Rain today with amounts possibly reaching 25 millimeters. Let's see. Generally, rainfall amounts of 10 to 20 millimeters are expected by late this evening. However, embedded thunderstorms, gotta like that, may result in some regions seeing higher total rainfall amounts, possibly reaching or exceeding 25 millimeters. There is still some uncertainty, yeah, I'll say, with the exact location of where the higher amounts will occur. I think that's all that I need to read you of the special weather statement. As for the forecast, today they say periods of rain ending this morning, then cloudy with showers beginning in the afternoon, risk of thunderstorms this afternoon. Wind from the south at 30 kilometers per hour early this afternoon. A high today of 16, the UV index at 4, which is moderate. Tonight, showers, risk of thunderstorms this evening. As far as the rain, they're saying amounts of 10 to 15 millimeters tonight. Wind from the south at 30 and a low of 10 tonight. Tomorrow, mainly cloudy with a 60% chance of showers in the morning and afternoon, clearing late in the afternoon. Wind from the south at 20, increasing to 40, with gusts to 60 late in the morning, and a high tomorrow of 19 degrees. Friday and the weekend looking superb at this point. Friday sunny, a low of 11 and a high of 25. Saturday sunny with a low of 11, a high of 30. And Sunday sunny with a low of 15 and a high of 30. So very nice weekend ahead. And that was, again, that's something electronic making that little... I have to call it a farting noise because that's what it sounds like to me. I just like to clarify, it's not me. Taking a look at conditions across the country and around the province, so let's start in Charlottetown, PEI. It is 8 degrees and mostly cloudy. Montreal has light drizzle at 11 degrees. Toronto, 15 degrees and cloudy. Iqaluit, light snow and minus 1. Winnipeg is 20 degrees and mainly sunny. Saskatoon, mainly sunny and 12. Edmonton, Yellowknife, partly cloudy and 13 degrees. Edmonton, 10 degrees and with light rain. Calgary has light rain as well at 7 degrees. Whitehorse is mostly cloudy and 4. Prince George, 7 degrees and misty. And a little closer to home, Clinton, cloudy and 6. Hope, 10 degrees with light rain. Kamloops, mostly cloudy and 10. 6 degrees in Pemberton. And in Vancouver, it is partly cloudy and 11. And on the highway report, let's see, a reminder that both the Big Bar ferries and Lytton ferries are out of service now due to high water. I didn't actually check the Lytton ferry, but it was a week or so ago, and I'm pretty sure that's still in effect. Highway 1, there's still a travel advisory in effect in Glacier National Park. If you're heading way east in the province, that's due to mudslide conditions and mudslides that have happened and that sort of thing. Travelers can expect one-hour closures between 8 p.m. and 8 a.m. and delays of up to 30 minutes between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. due to ongoing mudflow activity and cleanup operations. And paving continues between Cache Creek and Kamloops, about a 27-kilometer stretch of the highway there. That'll be going on through June the 30th. Work is 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday in single-lane alternating traffic where that's going on. We move now to Highway 40, construction from 12 to 16 kilometers west of Lillooet on Highway 40, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. That continues through September the 15th with single lane alternating traffic. And Highway 99 south, I know there's a couple here, construction from 14 to 28 kilometers south of Lillooet, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. That continues through September 15th as well with single lane alternating traffic. And Highway 99 North, construction 15 kilometers north of Lillooet, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily through May the 30th. Single lane alternating traffic there with up to 1 hour delays possible. So take note of that one. Also, sweeping is going on between Lillooet and the Hat Creek Corner. If you're not familiar with the area, that's about a 55 kilometer stretch of the highway on Highway 99 North out of Lillooet. 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. through May the 31st with single-lane alternating traffic. And I think, yep, that is it for the highways. I don't think I have anything else of that nature, so let's go back to the music. This is Piano Wednesday, and it's all French music today. I don't know why, I just kind of felt in that mood, maybe because of some music I was listening to yesterday. Emmanuel Chabrier, born in 1841, died in 1894. Another one of those composers who I have somehow managed to outlive. He is known as a highly influential composer on some of the generations that followed, most especially on Maurice Ravel. But his music itself is not as well known as it should be. People are starting to recognize it, I think. There are more recordings of Chabrier available than have been in quite some time. He wrote songs. I think he wrote some chamber music. He wrote quite a number of fairly light French operettas, as well as one or two full grand operas, although I think one of them exists only as a torso. And then he wrote piano music, not a huge amount of piano music, enough to fill about two CDs or so worth. So it's like I say, not a huge amount. But boy, it's all fantastic piano music. It's just so well written for the instrument. Thankfully, more pianists are starting to recognize that. Now, the pianist we're listening to here, Marcel Meyer, she was born around 1900 or so, I believe, and died around 1960. Don't have her dates right in front of me. During that time, she met and or made friends with most of the French composers of the day, as well as quite a number of others. She met Debussy when she was still a teenager, and I believe she played some of his piano music for him. She was friends with Ravel, knew Darius Milhaud and Igor Stravinsky, and the list really does go on. I just can't pull all the names to mind right now. Marcel Meyer left, that I'm aware of, about 13 CDs worth of recordings. There may be more on other labels, but those are the ones I'm familiar with. And every one of them is really quite remarkable. She had just a tremendous sense of clarity and of rhythmic incisiveness in her playing that serves very, very well. We're going to hear two more pieces from Chabrier, from his 10 picturesque pieces. Number 6, which is an idyll, depending on how you prefer to pronounce it, or if you want the French, Idylle, as I think how that's pronounced. This piece is really quite neat. It's got the melody in the upper fingers, 4 and 5 of the 4th and 5th fingers of the right hand. And then there is an accompaniment going on below that, a staccato, dum 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 dum, that's going on, especially noticeable in the thumb of the right hand. It's just a really interesting and beautiful little piece. And then we'll go to the last of the 10 picturesque pieces, which is the Scherzo Waltz. And as its name implies, it kind of combines elements of both of those styles. It is sort of waltzy, but a little too fast for actually waltzing to. And that's kind of where the scherzo elements come in. Really quite neat stuff. Now, if I had a recording of these pieces in stereo modern sound that I thought was anywhere near as good as Marcel Mayer, I would play it. I do have a couple of recordings in stereo, and they are respectable, to say the least, but there is just something really special about the way she plays this music. Again, it has to do with the way she uses rhythm and some of the clarity she brings to it as well. So here she is with 2 more pieces by Emmanuel Chabrier. Got to remember who I'm playing here. Thank you. Music by Emmanuel Chabrier. We heard two more of his 10 picturesque pieces. First, Idyll or Idyll, and I've checked, both of those pronunciations are acceptable in English. And then we heard the Scherzo Valse to conclude, and those were recordings by Marcel Meyer, made in the early 1950s, if I recall correctly. I've played before here some other recordings by her, including especially some of her Scarlatti sonatas, and those are really quite stunning, and I've played them for a number of people, good musicians, all of whom have been amazed by them. And there are a lot of good pianists who have recorded Scarlatti, but these are among some of the very best. I'll have to bring some of those back in again soon. It's 8:23. Let me tell you what's coming up today on Radio Lillooet. Make sure I'm looking at the right day here. Yes, there we go. When Snooze Button wraps up, I'll leave you with the Folk World Reggae playlist. Later today, I'll switch things up to Lillooet Secondary School, Studio 1 there around 11, and you can hear student broadcasters Grace and William. They're on the air roughly 11:25 to 12:15 on weekdays. Later today, Democracy Now! Between 3 and 4. Expect there will probably be the whole show devoted to the great American poet Maya Angelou, who just died, I believe, yesterday. I haven't checked their schedule or anything. I'm just pretty sure that's what we can count on the show being about. Let's see, 4 p.m. will be the First Years. That's the program put together for us by Halina at the Family Place. And it's about a half-hour show that offers all sorts of valuable suggestions and ideas, particularly for people who are caring for young children. Halina hasn't been able to supply us with any new shows for a while and won't be able to yet for a while, but we have a number of her shows in stock, as it were, and I will put one of those on at 4 o'clock. And then this evening is Wendy's Wonderland from 6 until 8 p.m. If you'd like to find out the details of the schedule, you can go to our website, radiolillooet.ca, and check out the schedule there. You can also find out more information about some of our broadcasters and their shows. You'll find many shows posted in podcast form. You can listen to on the internet or download to your computer and listen to at your later convenience. And you'll also find a link to live streaming Radio Lillooet. Just before I go on, only one bird thing, and this is not a local bird thing. There was a story on the CBC website this morning about some swallows, and this is so typical when mainstream media gets a hold of stories about birds that they don't really care enough to find out what species is involved. It's just swallows. Swallows at the University of Victoria who have learned how to open motorized parkade doors in a parkade there. They nest in the parking garage. Many people are probably familiar with that that phenomenon, not from Lillooet, since we don't have a lot of parking garages in Lillooet, but have seen it elsewhere. And it's believed that they had begun nesting in this area before the motorized doors were installed on this particular parkade. And the birds inside learned that by flying past certain motion sensors, that they could get the doors to open. It doesn't say if the doors are closed, how they get back inside. Maybe they have to wait until somebody comes out and the doors open then. I don't really know quite what the deal is, but I still thought that was kind of cool. Okay, let's move on. We're going to have a little bit of harpsichord music now, and we're turning to Antoine Forqueray, whose dates were 1671 to 1745. Forqueray himself was not really a harpsichord player. He was a virtuoso of the bass viol, a stringed instrument that would be probably similar to the cello nowadays. He wrote a lot of pieces for the bass viol, and it was his son, Jean-Baptiste, born in 1699, died 1782, who arranged many of these pieces into suites for harpsichord. He ostensibly did this to honor his father's memory. However, relations between the two Forqueray's, father and son, seem to have been very strained, to say the least, and Antoine Forqueray, the father, he's got a reputation as having been really not a very, very nice or pleasant person to spend time around. So more likely, perhaps, that Jean-Baptiste did it to make money. But he did a great job of it. He kept the music in the sort of lower registers that the instrument his father was writing for would have used. And that makes for a very interesting sound for the harpsichord, if it's as long as it's the right instrument playing it. The piece we're going to hear is one of those that does depart somewhat from the lower registers, and this is just, I think, a really cool piece. It's got a lot of interesting activity, let's call it that, going on in it. It's called Jupiter, and that fits in with the Jupiter Symphony by Mozart that we heard part of yesterday. These pieces are also, and this is true of so much of the French Baroque music, for harpsichord or for chamber ensembles, music that is, these are sort of character pieces, not entirely unlike some of the pieces that Chabrier wrote that we started the show with. So anyway, let's just hear Jupiter. There's no explanation as to why Antoine gave it that name, but it seems to fit the music pretty well. So here is Canadian harpsichordist Luc Beauséjour playing Jean-Baptiste's arrangement of his father's music.
Thank you.
Music by Antoine Forqueray. Sorry if I sound pretentious trying to say that with such a clear French accent, which is probably a pretty bad French accent. And it was arranged for the harpsichord by Jean-Baptiste Forqueray, the son of Antoine. That was a piece called Jupiter from the harpsichord suite number 5 in C minor that Jean-Baptiste arranged from his father's works. We heard a recording with Canadian harpsichordist Luc Beauséjour. And it did eventually get to a point where the upper registers of the harpsichord were called into play, but it started out with that very low, dark, rich, warm sound that was characteristic of the music that Antoine Forqueray was writing for the bass viol. Okay, it's 8:36. Let's do some public service announcements. We will start with the pool schedule. Everyone welcome 10:30 to 11:30 today, lane swimming 11:30 to 1. Everyone welcome 4:30 to 6:30, and then lane swimming again 6:30 until 7:30. The Strawberry Social, that is coming to Downton Park Friday of this week, which looks like a good day for it because the weather's supposed to be nice. Noon until 4 p.m., and that is, if you're not a resident of Lillooet, Downton Park is right next to the museum on Main Street. The cost is $5. Bring your own mug for tea, and I think that's all that I need to tell you about that. Skate Lillooet has its annual general meeting tonight, 7 p.m., room 101 here in the rec center. Volunteers are needed to fill board positions. And there's another cooking demo coming to the Better Living Center this Sunday, June the 1st. Summer Delights, this one is called. It's got a picture of an ice cream cone there, so maybe that gives some idea of what kind of thing to expect. Like all of these series of cooking demos put on at the Better Living Center, it features whole foods, gluten-free cooking, and vegan cooking as well. The Better Living Center at 6th Avenue and Main Street. If you'd like more information, call 256-9218. The District of Lillooet has an auction coming up June the 7th. They have a number of vehicles they're auctioning off and various other things here. A John Deere grass cutter. What else do I see? Some tires, a fruit picking ladder, an acetylene cutter, John Deere riding lawnmower, various other things. June 7th is the date of the auction. June 6th is a viewing from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., and then there is another viewing on June the 7th at 10 a.m. The auction itself begins at 11 a.m. and will end when all items are sold. That's taking place at Cook's Shop in the industrial park area down the other side of the bridge across the Fraser. And it says refreshments will be available, all items sold as is without warranty, and cash or check made payable to the District of Lillooet will be accepted prior to removal of the items by the successful buyer. Now, I don't know exactly what to say about this because I'm missing some important details. The Walking with the Smoltz Community Celebration, I've been touting that for several days now. It's the nature of it and perhaps the scale of it is being changed somewhat. This is a result of the rotating teacher strikes / lockouts that are going on right now. Of course, the rotating strike day for this week was Monday here, so I'm not familiar with all the labor things involved, and I'm definitely not going to jump into that particular dispute. All I know is that I believe most of the events will not be happening at the lower spawning channels anymore as was planned. The Walking with the Smoltz celebration was scheduled for, and is still scheduled for, Thursday and Friday of this week. I think most of the events are going to the schools rather than the schools coming to them, but I can't say that for certain. I was contacted about it yesterday. I was originally going to be doing a bird thing with the kids in the lower spawning channels that on Friday of this week. Now I'm going to, and I'm not displeased about this, now I'm going to be serving as a bodyguard for one or more owls. And I don't really know any more about it than that. I will let you know more after it's happened. Expect to hear a report on that next week. So if you want the latest information on the Walking with the Smoltz celebration and want to know more details of what's going on, you better call the info number that I have here, which is 256-3295. My apologies, Toby, for making your phone ring a whole bunch. Okay, Let me see, just see. I did have a couple more announcements here, but I'm not sure about the dates. June 14th, we're not going to worry about that so much. I think all of these can hold off until a later, slightly later date. So for our final big piece here in the hour, and we might or might not have time for an encore, we're turning to Claude Debussy. Debussy only wrote one work, or one major work, for piano and orchestra. There is another one, but he never actually even got around to orchestrating that, so it only exists in a piano solo form. The orchestrated version was done by somebody else, and I'm not 100% certain that Debussy planned on including the piano in the orchestra in that one. Anyway, set that one out of your minds. We're not doing that. When he was 27 or 28 years old, he wrote a fantasy for piano and orchestra. And it was scheduled to be performed. I think 1890 is when it was supposed to be performed. There was one rehearsal was held, and the conductor/composer who was supposed to conduct the concert, Vincent Dindy, who was quite a decent composer himself, Dindy told Debussy that he would need more rehearsal time than he had to prepare the whole piece. And so he suggested just performing the first movement of the fantasy. It's in 2/3 movements. The second movement is sort of in two big sections. Anyway, Debussy wasn't wild about the idea of just the first part being performed by itself. It's only about 8 minutes long, as opposed to the whole thing, which is about 24 minutes. And so Debussy withdrew it. He walked around the rehearsal space and picked up the music parts off of all of the musicians' music stands and kept them himself. He continued to sort of tinker away with the piece over the next the remainder of his life. Every now and then would pull it out and take a look at it, but he refused to allow it to be published or performed in his lifetime. So it wasn't until 1919 that this piece finally got a premiere. It's one of the least often heard of Debussy's compositions, very rarely performed, very rarely recorded, and I'm a little surprised that pianists haven't picked up on it more. Fair enough that they are possibly respecting Debussy's own feelings about the piece, but I think he was wrong. I think it was a good piece, a really good piece. And some people say they don't think it sounds that much like Debussy, and I could not disagree more. Again, this is a wholly characteristic of at least early-ish Debussy, and there are many, many places in this that point towards the mature work of Debussy, things like the orchestral tone poems that comprise La Mer. As I say, three movements. The second movement is starts out with a slow section, which is called an interlude, and then it leads to a set of variations that conclude the work. The piano part is not conventionally virtuosic in the sense that you would find in a piano concerto by Liszt or Chopin or someone else from the 19th century. But the piano is rather more sort of woven into the orchestral texture, although it certainly has quite a lot of notes to play. So it definitely stands out. Anyway, I wish more pianists would give this piece a chance. that was an unintentional pun. We're going to listen to Aldo Ciccolini playing the piano, and he is performing here with the Orchestra Nationale de l'Office Radio-Télévision Français, which I think I got right. The conductor is Jean Martino.
Thank you.